50 episodes, Wiz. Can you believe it? Here we are.
I can't believe we did 10.
No, that's a good shout, actually. Once we got past 10, there's no stopping us, really.
No.
50 is pretty good.
50 is pretty good. And it's like, that's half a century. That's like, we're only halfway to having 100 episodes, and that'd be mental.
Yes.
That wouldn't be proper mental if we had 100 episodes. I was actually wondering, as it's an intro, put it in here. What's our listenership going like? We haven't had an update on that, and I've had a few people ask me how many followers, how many people are out there.
Do we publish this?
No, you did. I think about months and months and months ago. I mean, our social media team, not you.
Yeah, they're still on their Christmas break, so I'll have to try and work it out quickly. So we've had over 5,500 plays of our episodes.
Wow.
Which is not too bad. And let me just count how many countries we're in. One, two.
I'll talk over this, but I don't want to make you lose count. You must have run out of fingers and toes by now. Good Lord. We are still here.
71.
71 countries.
Yeah.
That's almost a third of the world.
That's incredible. Including Lebanon, Ukraine.
Why?
Vanuatu, we've mentioned before. What do you mean, why?
I mean, thank you to the listener or listeners that are listening in those countries. But why are you listening to two middle-aged, bald, bearded men talking about veganism? It's just mental.
Oh, God. Oh.
Thank you. It's amazing.
We don't have listeners in Korea. Actually, either of the Koreas.
Okay.
But I don't know if you saw the news story today.
No.
But, the South Korea, or the Republic of Korea, has said that they are... they've passed a law today that bans the production of dog meat from 2025.
Oh, wow.
And as soon as I saw that headline, I thought, Elwood's Dog Meat is going to have something to say about this. So I went over to their page, and here's what Elwoods has to say on the South Korea dog meat ban. We'd like to speak up on behalf of the dog meat farmers in South Korea. South Korea has banned the consumption of dog meat. For dog meat farmers, this is their livelihood. Do you expect them to find other jobs, to farm other foods? Ridiculous. What are they going to do with all of those dogs? Just set them free? It's irresponsible. And what's next? Banning all meat farms? To the anti-dog meat activists supporting this ban, folks who have never set foot on farmland and have no idea what it takes to produce a crop of dogs, if the dog is bred for meat, if the production methods are exactly the same as other animals, if it's tradition, how is it wrong? There we go.
Brilliant.
Love it. Love it. So yeah, stand with dog farmers.
Yes.
That's it.
Stand with dairy farms. Up with dog farms.
Yeah. We stand with dog meat farmers everywhere. They are bred for this. It's fine.
This is what they live for.
Exactly.
Amazing.
Cool. Anyway. So Molly Elwood of Elwood's Organic Dog Meat, obviously one of our previous guests. And as we move past episode 50, we've been working over the last couple of weeks to get some more guests lined up. And it's looking pretty good for the spring. We've got some good people set up, some dates, some people from all different areas, countries, lives. Stay tuned, I guess is what I'm saying. And for those of you who have listened to all 50 episodes, what's wrong with you?
Well done, and thank you.
Yes, well done. Oh no, that's what I meant. Sorry. Yeah.
Maybe go
I'll go with that.
Support.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And talking of support, on Saturday, last Saturday, I went back to the barn in Willing.
Yes, you did.
For our local vegan runners festive social. We've never done one for our little region, and so it was nice to get together. And there was, I think, 18 of us.
Wow!
Sat around a table at the barn, and I had
lovely plate.
Fantastic. What did I have? Chicken satay, skewers, and then mushroom linguine. It was very
fantastic.
Good.
Very
good.
Nice.
So, yeah, if you're in the Midlands, get yourself down to the barn. Lovely place.
Cool.
But also, if you're in the Midlands, get yourself down to the Ark.
Yeah. Maybe have lunch at one and dinner at the other.
Yeah, there you go. That's your day. A little day of sightseeing around the East Midlands. Go to Northampton. Ooh. Go somewhere. And then on your way past Northampton, stop in at the Ark. And then go somewhere else and then go to the barn. And that'll be a lovely vegan day out.
There you go.
Yes. Okay. What's been happening with you, Wes? Because we haven't recorded for about a month, so what's been going on?
Nothing. Back at work. Cracking on.
Oh, yeah. I saw your Sofology advert in full.
Yeah. Shell pointed that out. Yeah. Leave that. Yeah, just, you know, back to the grind. It's not a grind. I love my job. It's amazing. Christmas was nice and chilled. Didn't do anything really. Finished work, put my feet up, put the kettle on, then put my feet up, and then just watch the telly.
Lovely.
Which was nice.
Lovely. We came up to see you the week before Christmas, didn't we? And we went to, what's the arcade place in Bury called?
Arcade Club in Bury, which is amazing.
What a fantastic evening that was. Absolutely amazing. Could have spent days in there just playing all those games.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing.
It's incredible. Absolutely incredible.
It's not vegan, but it's incredible.
Yeah.
All the arcades that we used to play as kids. I kept taking pictures and sending them to my friend Nick because they're all the games that we used to play when we used to go out.
Yeah.
I never did
arcade games. It was all on my old Commodore C64 back in the day.
Ah, okay.
I was like, oh my God, I never knew this was a coin operated game.
Oh, wow.
I just thought it was developed for the Commodore, but no, it was like a real game on the map. Okay.
Fantastic.
So good. Such a good day. Such a good venue. Yeah.
Yes.
So, yeah.
So check that out as well. Why not? Awesome. Okay. Well, episode 50, we should have this down pat now. If you want to get in touch, find us on Instagram, Facebook. That's pretty much it, really. We're on all the others, but I keep forgetting to log in and see what's happening.
Don't matter. If we've got 71 countries listening to us, I think what we're doing is fine. So thanks, everyone. Thank you. Yeah, and
great.
if you want to come on or you want to give us some feedback, only positive feedback, obviously, you can email us at howiveganpodcast@gmail.com.
Oh, he's got it. Love it. Or you can like us, rate us, subscribe us on your podcast platform of choice. Thanks for joining us, Hema. We're very excited to have you on. No pressure, but this is our 50th episode, so it's a big one. So,
oh my gosh!
So the pressure's all on. The pressure's on you. So our guest today is a business owner from Northampton. She runs the Ark, which is a vegan cafe and events space on the river. Just off the Bedford Road. I can say from having experienced it as a cafe and as an event space, it's fantastic. Highly recommended if you're in the Northampton area. Wes missed out both times. All three times that I've been.
I always miss out.
Yes. One was my wife's 40th birthday party, which was, obviously she's very young. She's not even 40 yet. But that was just pre-COVID, I think that was. Then what else? Oh, we had the Saving Nemo launch party there, didn't we?
Yes.
Which was great fun. We had Jess on to talk us through that as well. And then there was a vegan runners meetup for the local park run at the University of Northampton. So happy days. So, Emma, thanks for joining us. Tell us about the art and how it came to be.
So the ark, for people listening, it's a big white barge, so 23 meters long, 6 meters wide. It's a big white boat, hence the name the ark. And we run a vegan cafe on board in the daytime, so everything is vegan on board: drinks, food, everything. And then in the evenings we hire it out for parties, like Matthew just said. And we do everything from wedding receptions, birthday parties, you name it. We will happily host it. And again, we keep all the catering for our events vegan, and the bar is 100% vegan as well.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, you can't get better than that, can you?
No.
Fantastic. And yeah, it's a really great space as well, because I guess maybe because it is on the barge, it's completely separate from everything, isn't it? So there's no sort of people wandering in the middle of your event because they think, oh, look, there's a party going in, let's crash it. It's nice, and you just have your own space. So
Yeah.
why a barge? Why not just an empty unit in town?
I wish we did do an empty unit, because it would have been
Oh.
a lot easier than building a boat, I will tell
Yeah.
you that. But unfortunately, my father, who is a very determined man, wanted to build a boat. He wanted to put a boat on the river, in the River Nene. We've lived in Northampton, 30 plus years he'd lived here, and he loved the river, and he just thought, I'm gonna put a boat on that river. He spoke about it for years and years and
Wow.
years. People thought he was crazy, but one day he turned up with this big white boat, and people realized he wasn't actually joking. So yeah, it was my dad's idea, and I just
Fantastic.
helped him finish it off and build that. We built it together, and then we ran it together.
Fantastic. So it's because it's not an actual boat, is it? It's boat shaped. Is that right? Or is it an actual boat?
No, it's 100%. This is a myth. We're going to dispel this myth right now. It is 100% a boat.
Oh,
We are
wow.
floating. It doesn't need a lot of water underneath to float, because it's a flat hull, if we're going to get technical.
Okay.
But yeah, we're floating.
Oh,
And
wow.
maybe you didn't notice at your party, but when people are dancing, you feel it rocking, especially in the bar. I
Well,
watch them glasses shake. It makes me very nervous.
you're right at the front as well in the bar, so you must feel it more. Oh,
Absolutely,
wow.
yeah.
Okay. I don't know why I didn't think it was an actual boat, but it is. I'll take your word for it. So it's I'm assuming with the recent heavy rain that we've had, it hasn't affected it badly or anything. You haven't like woken up and it's floated off down the river or anything.
Well,
It's
no,
fixed securely.
we're equipped for this weather. Hopefully, this is our strength, you would think.
Yeah, that's
But
it. Yeah, you'd be able to set the animals on 2x2.
this is I've had people queuing up trying to get on board, but no, we've been fine. It does worry me sometimes when you see the river get very high. If we're getting technical, our boat is anchored by the bridges which you walk on to
Oh,
it.
yeah.
They're the anchors which keep
Okay.
it tethered to the land, and as the water levels go up, you'll see the bridges go up. So it does make me nervous, and you'll kind of be on the boat and you'll feel the slant, but thankfully the water levels have come down again.
Wow. Okay. That's good to know. That's good. And it's got the lovely top deck that's open. Probably not for at the moment, but certainly we sat out there in the summer when we did the park run meet up there, and it's lovely just sitting there looking over the water.
If you have a dry day, it's definitely worth going on the top deck, just because the views are incredible. Like you mentioned earlier, our location is so lovely. Behind the back of us, we've got a nature reserve. So it's all green. It's never going to be built on. It's just river and green. And then in front of us, we've obviously got the park. So when you're sat on the top deck, you really do feel like you could be anywhere.
Yes, and it's so
Nice.
close to the centre of Northampton as well. You wouldn't
Yeah,
really
exactly.
believe it, would you?
No, literally walking distance.
Fantastic. I
I
love that.
genuinely don't think I've ever seen it. I've driven down the road. I don't think I've ever seen it.
That's mad. I know, we're literally close to the road, but just tethered away. So if you don't know we're there, you might easily miss us. But yeah.
I'll have to have a look. I'll have to keep a closer eye next time I'm down.
Yeah, definitely.
Next time you come to visit, Wes, we'll go in for a coffee and a cake.
Why not? Why not? Let's do that.
Push the boat out. Hey!
Very good. Very good.
I bet that gets used every single day, doesn't it?
Oh, you have no idea. You have no idea. All the boating puns. I didn't realise how many there were until I opened a boat. And then you're like, oh God, there are so many.
Excellent. I love that. So why a vegan cafe then? We've found out why it's a boat and why it's where it is, but why a vegan boat? What's the vegan background?
So we've had the boat for 10 years, but it hasn't actually been vegan that time. So we've only been vegan for 5 of those years. So halfway through, running the place, I personally went vegan. And then once you go vegan, it's really hard to kind of run a business that doesn't align with your morals. So I decided to turn the boat vegan as well. And I just thought it'd be a great, in Northampton, there wasn't 100% vegan places. Like, I don't think there was anything really. Maybe one other place, but aside from that, I just thought there's nowhere to go where you just don't have to worry about anything. So I just thought it'd be a really great space to have where vegans can come and not have to ask about this or that.
Yes, I love that. Yeah, you're right. Mm. Northampton is, for the size of the town, there isn't really that much purely vegan choice. Like, you've got a lot of chain restaurants and cafes that have vegan options, but there's not many that are completely vegan. It's probably just, I think, is it just two now, is it, perhaps?
Something two like that I can think of, yeah.
Yeah, so that's not very good for us, for a big town.
It was about a month after I'd gone vegan. I was down there and I went into a certain establishment, I'm not going to name it, and I was told there's not much call for that around here, mate.
Wow.
So that was in 2018.
Very disappointing.
So maybe there just isn't much call for it.
Maybe there wasn't. So what was the thing that turned you vegan then from? Because it was wasn't it vegetarian before? Cafe before? Oh, no, it was just
We served
standard.
Everything.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So what was the turning point for you then?
Well, my brother went vegan. And he literally just thought it overnight. One day he found out, oh, my brother's gone vegan. Okay, fine. I remember the first time he came home, he gave me the talk. you might know this. So literally, there I am just sitting there eating. I've just finished a shift. And he's just like, Emma, why do you think eating meat is okay? And I was like, oh, no, I don't want to have this talk with you. My God, just leave me alone. I just finished a shift. I just want to eat. But literally, I am very open-minded. And obviously, I respect my brother. And if he's something he's decided to do, I said, obviously, I'll listen to what you have to say. He said, will you watch this video? I went, I will watch anything. I know where my meat comes from. Just put it in front of me. Mm-hmm. I don't mind. I watched one video and I was like, oh my God, I made a huge mistake.
Brilliant. So, what was the video?
It was Land of Hope and Glory on YouTube. I think it's by Ed, Earthling Ed. It's like an expose. It just shows obviously what happens in all the farming, agricultural farming, dairy farms in the UK. So you know it's literally where your kind of meat and dairy is coming from.
Yes, you can't get away and pretend, oh, no, that doesn't happen here. It's not. Yeah. That's one of the excuses people like to give, isn't it? Oh, yeah, but we have animal welfare standards.
Oh, yeah. Oh, don't give me that red tractor. Oh, no, that would never happen here. We've got a red tractor on our products.
Yeah, that's it.
So what was the next step after you watched that then? What happened after you watched that?
So I watched that video and it's ironic because I watched it a day before I was going on a work trip. And when I used to go on a work trip, I used to plan my meals out because I used to think, oh, I'm going to get £25 spent on dinner. I'm going to go mad with work's money. And I had this meal planned. I was going to go to this place, have these lamb chops. And then I got to the restaurant and could I bring myself to order these lamb chops that I had planned on having for weeks? No, of course. So I found myself ordering like a vegetarian starter. I had a fish main. That was a bit cheating. But I knew in my head I couldn't continue to eat meat and dairy like I had been. I think I went vegetarian pretty much straight away. That wasn't an issue for me at all. But I did struggle to give up the dairy. That took 3 extra months after being vegetarian. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a big problem for a lot of people. Cheese and chocolate. Oh, my gosh. Those two things. And when people say to me, oh, I don't know if I could give up cheese and chocolate, I get it. Like, they are so good. They're so addictive.
Yes.
I think it's that ingredient in dairy, which literally activates the same addictive
like heroin,
nature as I think it's heroin or one of another drug. Like, it's so addictive. So that kind of kept me vegetarian a little bit longer than I wanted to be. But eventually I kicked myself and made it over to the vegan side.
Do you think in like 40 or 50 years time, when the whole world is vegan, there'll be people in like squats who are like with a little block of cheese? Oh, just one
that
bit
little
at
black
a time.
Market.
Yeah, going out shoplifting so that they can afford a little bit of cheddar.
Yeah, opening trench coats. What's your fancy? I got a Galaxy, I got a cherry milk.
Hey, mate, got some cheddar for you.
Got any yellow? Got any yellow, mate?
Got any yellow.
Premium stuff.
And they'll be snorting Parmesan off a toilet assistant in a pub or something.
Oh, this has gone really dark.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting that. Sorry, everyone. Sorry. Oh, dear.
So what's been the hardest thing since you made that change then?
Honestly, once I made the change, nothing has been hard. It was just Brilliant. Purely kicking my butt and just doing it. I think it's the fear Brilliant. Of giving those things up rather than once you've done it, it's really very simple. It really is.
Yeah.
The hardest part was just giving it up for me personally.
Mm-hmm. It's that thing in your head telling yourself, this is the last time I'm ever going to eat this. Or that it's already the last time I'm ever going to eat bacon has already been because I didn't realize before I decided I wasn't going to eat it anymore. And then processing that in your head. Yeah. No, that's a good point. It is a big struggle getting over that, especially like you say, dairy and chocolate for a lot of people. That's the thing, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
So other than your brother, that's not easy to say. What did your friends and family think about it? I mean, I'm assuming he was over the moon and he's got a gold star, a gold vegan star straight away.
He's gone up a level in vegan. Yeah, you know, he's recruited a vegan. So he's gone up. He's moving up in the world.
Would that not be a green star?
Oh, sorry. Yes. Well done. Yes.
Obviously. No, I was lucky. My mum has fully embraced vegan. She's an incredible chef. She does the cooking at the Ark as well. And so she has veganized all of the food that I would have usually eaten. And so I can still have those dishes, but without any sort of meat or dairy. So that's been great. A lot of my friends have also gone vegan. So that really has helped. It's really random people that I've been friends with for years, not even just because of like not because of me in any way, but we've all kind of come to this conclusion on our own for different reasons. So wow. It's really great mm-hmm. when other people tend to go vegan at the same time. So it's worked out really well, to be honest.
That's fantastic. Great to have that support network as well of the vegans to, you know, help you out with recipes or ideas and look what I found in Sainsbury's or whatever. This great new product.
Absolutely. We love to talk about food. I think that's one thing I see with the cafe. People come, we've got a really great community. Everyone kind of knows each other and we just love to discuss this sort of stuff. I think it's something is really good for a vegan, and you might miss out if you don't go to these all vegan spaces, you know, you might miss out on meeting other like-minded people.
Yes. Yes, finding your tribe is a really important part of it, I think. Definitely.
Yeah, it really helps when, you know, other people might be a bit more demoralizing, you know.
Yes. Agreed.
Yeah. Do you think there's any sort of changes to your physical or mental state since making the change?
Well, for me personally, I am convinced that I was lactose intolerant. Because ever since I have given up dairy, I feel so much better. I feel incredible. Like, I used to eat so much cheese, as I've stated before, and I used to always feel bloated and lethargic afterwards. And I just thought that was normal. I just thought I was full. That's the full feeling that you get. But actually, no, because I eat tons of food now and I do not ever feel that crappy ever. So I'm absolutely convinced that I am lactose intolerant. I think I'm Indian, for people that are listening and can't see my face. So a lot of people who are Indian and of Asian descent are naturally lactose intolerant. That's actually quite higher amongst our ethnic group. So it wouldn't surprise me. I've not had a test done, but I'm convinced I probably was. And so, yeah, it's been great.
Yes, I was watching something on TV the other day, and the percentage of people around the world, sort of outside of Europe and North America, that are lactose intolerant is incredibly high. It's huge. I didn't realise.
Was that the You Are What You Eat documentary? Because I think I saw it on there.
The twins.
Yes, exactly. Yes,
it was on there. That was very good, I thought. It wasn't... I don't know if it was as good as it could have been, but I enjoyed it. But that was an amazing statistic.
It really was, yeah.
I mean, I heard it a few years ago that we're all lactose intolerant, but our bodies have evolved to be able to not be taught, not, hang on, edit this. Our bodies have evolved to be able to withstand the lactose. But obviously, because everyone's different, everyone's body's makeup is different, that some people are more intolerant than others.
Right. Okay.
So some of us can just crack on and drink milk like weirdos.
Yeah.
And then everyone else sort of feels a bit, like I say, bloated or some people that are lactose intolerant, they come out and they get like skin
yeah,
conditions,
get like a
like
rash kind of thing.
Rashes and stuff. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Interesting.
All right. So this is a key bingo question. Where do you get your protein and other essential nutrients?
This question, oh my God, it makes my skin cool a little bit. I'm going to be honest with you. It just annoys me so much. Like, of all the different things we need to live as a human, why are we so obsessed with this one nutrient that is protein? Like, let's focus on other things. No one's going around going, where'd you get your fiber from? Where are you getting your vitamin D from? Where are you getting, do you know what I mean? Like, why protein of all the things? We're not all bodybuilders. We're not all looking to make them gains. So,
we're definitely not, are we, Wes?
No.
Not by a long shot.
In the gym, 7 days a week, bam, bam, bang. Literally, it's mad. It's mad. And everyone knows there's a very simple, you only need 1 gram per kilogram that you weigh. So it's really not that much. There's protein in literally everything. Broccoli, an apple, soy. Lentils. Yeah. I know I'm getting above and beyond when it comes to protein. I get it from all of, the best sort of vegan sources, fruits, vegetables, lentils, legumes, soy, everywhere. I'm probably, above and beyond, but it just annoys me because you do get asked this, and I know, but it's just wild, absolutely wild.
It is.
Everyone becomes an expert on nutrition. And suddenly I'm vegan. Oh, do you know about this? Do you know you don't get this?
Where'd you get your B12? Oh, vegans are known for being all weak and all that and ill all the time. Oh, get out of it.
Annoying.
Yeah.
Why do people think it's okay as soon as you tell them you're vegan to then ask you about your health? And why are they so concerned about your health? It makes no sense to me. Next time someone tells me, they eat meat, I'm going to be like, oh my God, where are you getting your fiber from? Like literally just every time, just
for
fun. Are
you worried about a heart attack?
Yeah, exactly. How are you unclogging your arteries? There's literally zero cholesterol in plant-based food. Seriously.
Look at all those hospitals full of protein deficient patients. And the lack of people with heart disease and cancer.
Yeah, that's it.
Honestly, wild. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Hopefully, if you are vegan or you're thinking about going vegan, please don't worry about your protein. You will get more above and beyond. It's really not something you have to worry about.
No. And the only people that I've ever met who are worried about their protein intake are people who are like trying to pack on muscle and stuff like that.
Yes.
And when they eat animals, they're still on the protein shakes and all that kind of stuff. You can
Absolutely.
Still do that as a vegan. It makes no difference. So it's not like you're saying, right, well, now that I'm not eating animals, I don't need to worry about these protein shakes. I'll get everything from, you know, I'll just eat kidney beans for the rest of my life. It's just carry on doing that. Just don't eat the animal. It's just insane.
You're making it sound so easy.
What's the trick?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right. Unless you are really trying to make them gains, it's really not a thing.
No, not at all. Not at all. So from your perspective, what's the best thing about being vegan?
The smugness. Just knowing
Absolutely.
That you're better than everyone else, you know? I hope people know I'm joking when I say that. No, but honestly, you should be smug. I'm not even, you really should be smug if you are vegan, because you are making such a huge difference to the world every single day with that one decision that you have made. You are saving water. You are saving the lives of animals. You are saving the land. You're saving the planet. Literally, you should be so proud of yourself.
That's really true. That's a really good point. We should be proud of it. I think
we should be wearing capes.
Cakes or capes?
Capes.
Capes, okay.
Cakes as well, if you want to.
Yeah.
That's a good point, actually, because I think there's a lot to be said in that, but we do sort of walk around quietly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, apart from the activists among the, you know, the people among us, we walk around quietly, sort of evading confrontation with people, and actually just be proud of it and just go with it.
Yeah,
I'm doing that tomorrow.
Yes.
I'm gonna go everywhere tomorrow. Just be smug.
I love
We had a team meeting last week, and we were all on Teams, Microsoft Teams, and everyone had to take their turn. All the people on the thing, you know, giving their little updates, and everyone was saying Happy New Year and Happy New Year. And I thought, oh, yeah, I'm going to do it. Happy Veganuary, everyone. And they were like, oh, God. But I thought, sod it, why not? What's the worst that can happen?
There's always one, it's always him.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. It was worth it. It
I'm
was
glad
worth
you
it
did.
Just for the
I'm
eye
glad
rolls.
You did.
Oh dear. And in our previous episode, Emma, or the previous episode that we had with a guest, we were talking about Purezza in Camden and how she'd arranged Works Christmas do there. And I said at the time, do you know what? I'm moving teams at the end of this week, actually. And so I'm going to have a leave-in do and I'm going to book it there. And we're going on Thursday. It's exciting. Me and 12 non-vegans.
Dude, it's incredible pizza. If they're
Is it? I've never been.
But that's on them. You've never been?
No, I've never been. I went purely on Nazia's recommendation. So if it's horrible, I'll be, I don't know, because she lives in France, but I'll be, I don't know, spamming her. What's the vegan for spamming? Because spam's not vegan, is it? I'll be spamming her Instagram with complaints. But anyway.
There'll be no complaints.
No
Incredible
pizza. I'm looking forward to it. Anyway, so what's your favourite vegan product at the moment?
There's nothing really that I'm like mad on at the moment. It's Veganuary. So I have been looking around to try new things. I'm not going to lie. I'm a bit disappointed with this year's Veganuary. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah.
There's nothing that's really jumped out for me, which is such a shame because it's normally like Christmas for vegans and I'm just always like buzzing, going around town, trying to try everything new. But yeah, literally, I did manage to get my hands on finally the Juicy Marbles steaks.
Oh. Any good?
Oh, wow.
Yes, exactly. So I've wanted to try them for ages. They've only been at Waitrose before, but now they're at Tesco. So that's how I've managed to finally get my hands on them. And I had them at the weekend and thoroughly enjoyed them. So I would highly recommend if you do like a little steaky, very realistic meat, but a plant-based meat. If you don't like that sort of thing, not for you. But the texture was incredible. Taste was good. I enjoyed it.
Okay. So you said it was incredibly realistic, as in almost too realistic, or just on the right side for you?
For me, I enjoyed it. It was more like the texture was spot on. The taste was nice. I think it's good to have these sort of products, especially for people who maybe one went vegan, but not because they didn't like the taste of meat, because they wanted to save animals. So I think it's nice to have that product if they do want to kind of reminisce and have that sort of taste, you know?
Yes. Okay.
You struggled, Matthew, didn't you? You struggled with one of the burgers, didn't you?
Yes.
You said it was too real and it was like a bit icky.
I think it was might have been the Impossible Burger the first time I had that, and it was a bit like I wasn't convinced it wasn't meat, which I think in a lot of ways it's not really aimed at long-term vegans, is it? Like you say, it's for people who maybe are going like meat-free Monday or have just gone vegan or just gone plant-based, and they want to have that taste and texture, but without killing the animal. But yeah, for me, I was a bit like, it's too close to the bone, literally.
I mean, of all the restaurants to name here, I've had that a couple of times with the McPlant. I've sort of worried whether they've put the right burger in.
Wow.
I've gone with trust that it is okay, or there's just been some oiky teenager going, yeah, I'll get you your vegan twat. Yeah.
Damn you vegans.
Know? And it's like, I've been unsure, but who knows?
Yeah, there is a lot of trust.
A fear. Yeah, it's always a fear when you go places where they do both.
Yeah, so you should be going to a vegan cafe, Wes.
Yeah, particularly one that floats. That'd help, wouldn't it?
Yes.
That is the dream.
If only there was one.
But I absolutely take your point about Veganuary. I think it's been a real change this year compared to last year and probably the year before. It seems like there's very little in the way of new products or even like supermarkets making a thing of it. It's been quite surprising, really.
I've usually focused on like Aldi and Lidl anyway, because their ranges are relatively good.
Yeah.
And there is quite a bit in there this year. A lot of the usual stuff, but with a few added extras. But they just don't put, it's the shame they don't push it the rest of the year. That really bugs me. I'm like, it's obviously selling because it goes off the shelves. Yeah. And then you go, it's February the 1st now, we're going to stop. Why? Just keep them there.
Yeah, just keep it going. It's nuts.
And that's the worst part, because you might find something in that January and you love it. You're like, oh, this is so good. And then you go to get it again and you'll never see it again. And no. You're like, why?
Just I feel like I've got to stock up. Just get a big hoard of boxes of something. Just bang it in my freezer so it lasts me.
This is it.
Yeah. Although I did see today that Ben and Jerry's are going to launch a dairy-free strawberry cheesecake flavour, which pre-vegan was my absolute favourite.
So
if you find me one day dead through, it'll be through overconsumption of Ben and Jerry's strawberry cheesecake vegan ice cream, because I can just eat that
just
forever.
On the floor covered in melted ice cream.
Yeah, yeah. Which, you know, of all the ways to go, probably not a bad one, is it?
It's not a bad one, is it?
If you're going to go with a smile.
100%. So if somebody mentioned to you that they were wanting to go vegan and they went, I want you to help me.
Mm-hmm.
You're the only one that can help me because yeah.
Help
have
me, Obi-Wan. You're my
it
only
makes
hope.
Sense. Yeah.
What advice are you going to give them?
I would say you've come to the right place, my friend. And I would say I would personally recommend a whole load of videos for them to go away and consume, because I think there are some really powerful documentaries out there and it's really hard to watch them all and then not change your mind. So for me, I would start with Land of Hope and Glory, which is on YouTube. It's completely free. Get someone to watch that. If they still are happy to consume meat products, bizarre. But if not, I'd also follow up with Game Changers on Netflix.
Yes.
I just think it's
That's
an
a good
incredible
one.
piece. It's not really in regards to animals. Again, people go vegan for different reasons, but pointing out the health stuff is hard to, you know, say I don't want to be healthy or I don't want to be the best version of myself. And it kind of all backs it up. And there was also another documentary that used to be on Netflix. I'm not sure if it is anymore, but Forks Over Knives. That kind of helped me
Heard of
push
that.
me give up the cheese and cheese and chocolate. So again, it's another health-based documentary. Loads of different plant-based doctors, Dr. Esselstein and I think it's Dr. Campbell. They did this documentary all about the benefits of plant-based diets. I just think that it's enough to compel a person, I would say.
Fantastic.
Awesome.
Love that. That's really useful. Okay. So you mentioned your brother earlier on, but who is your vegan inspiration?
I think my vegan inspiration is anyone who decides to run a vegan business. Just because as someone on the other side, it is unbelievably difficult. On the one hand, you're doing something you love. It's a very subtle sort of protest. You know, you're kind of showing what vegan is, what it can be. You're showing hopefully people the best side of vegan. But at the same time, you will have to deal with very close-minded people, a lot of resistance, a lot of this. And bear in mind, you're not dragging these people to your place, but they will still come in and want to have these arguments and debates with you and still give you the, oh, but I want a bacon sandwich. Mum, clearly you've come to the wrong place, my guy. You know?
Do you really get
that? I wondered if that was actually a thing that people do book at your restaurant and still come in and moan.
Oh, you'd be surprised. Yeah. And you get the people that also, you'll make them a coffee and they're like, oh, it's nice, but you're not going to convince me. And I'm like, I didn't try to convince you. You've come into my place and I've just done what you've asked, you know. I'm not here to change minds. If you want to change your mind, then great. But I'm really not here to change you if you don't want to be changed, you know.
Yes.
So, yeah, you always get difficult people. You'll get people do the quickly in and out. Like, you don't have normal milk? Nope. Okay, bye, bye. So literally, you get it all the time.
Wow.
Wow.
That must be so frustrating. A
yeah,
customer.
yeah.
Oh, they've got.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm
It's
not,
just like the people that won't even try it.
Yeah. Yeah. Ridiculous.
I'm not trying to convince you, but why don't you try another of my cakes?
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. I used to do with the coffees. I'd say they'd have a latte. They'd say, can I have a latte? And I'd be like, yeah, it's oat milk. They'd be like, oh, no. And I went, just have the latte. And if you don't like it, I will give you a black Americano on the house. So it's no loss. You know, you're going to have a coffee regardless. I've never had to make that black Americano.
Fantastic.
Good
That's
work.
brilliant. I
because
love
there's
that.
nothing wrong with the food. The coffee is great, but just getting over that mindset, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
There's nothing better than a hunk of prime Labrador steak, wonderfully marbled. And that is almost entirely dependent on how it's produced. Elwood's Organic Dog Meat has complete control of this entire journey. So I'm here at Elwood's Farm to find out a little more about it.
Welcome to Elwood Farms.
Thank you very much, Elwood.
I hear you do a bit of barbecuing.
I do, a little bit of barbecuing every now and then, yes.
From a chef's point of view, consistency is key for everything.
It doesn't matter if it's a Rottweiler ribeye, a Pyrenees mince, or a lab sirloin.
You can always tell when the dog comes from a place where it was well reared. And every step has to be right, doesn't it? Oh, you should see these guys. So, from an Elwood's point of view, there's complete traceability.
Absolutely. Unrivaled traceability, so it's fine.
Every single piece of dog meat?
Yeah, from pup to farmer's market.
Everything the dog's been fed?
Everything about it.
For each dog?
Yeah. Only Marks and Spencer's and Whole Foods do this.
Where else can people order from?
From ElwoodDogMeat.com. That's ElwoodDogMeat.com.
For top quality meat from dogs for people. Meat that's local, sustainable, and humanely harvested. There's only Elwood's organic dog meat.
They seem pretty friendly, don't they? It's more responsive to me than my kids, to be honest.
Wes and I just had a quick chat because we're not sure if we should ask this one. We asked this one of all our guests, but it's perhaps a bit awkward because it's what's your favourite vegan venue or restaurant? So other than the Ark, what's
well,
your favourite vegan
the
venue?
The Ark would be number one, clearly, yeah. Above and beyond.
Yeah.
Favourites. There's a lot of places I like to go. So if I were in London, I would go to Pureza if I wanted pizza, where you are
awesome.
Going next week.
Yep.
Temple of Satan is always a great show. Love the Satan there. Love the whole vibe. If I could, I would like to go back to Japan. I went to Japan in 2020, and the vegan scene out there is just incredible. The food is just stunning. So if I could, I would like to go back to Japan, maybe go to a place called Onwa in Nara, a couple places in Tokyo, and just eat all that good food again.
Wow. Do you know what? No one has ever said anywhere in Japan as their favorite vegan venue or restaurant. Is that just to make sure that no one can get that mixed up with the Ark? And it's like, it's either the Ark or it's on the other side of the world and that's it.
Yeah.
That's exactly it. You've got two options. You come see me. Or you go take a plane and you go all your way to Tokyo.
So if you're taking a night off from work, then you'd go to Japan.
As you would, you know. I'm saving all my CO2 from my food so I can rack up these air miles.
Absolutely.
I love that. So my knowledge of Japanese food is pretty much sushi and that's it. And I've had a little bit of vegan sushi, which is generally just some vegetables wrapped in rice. What else is there that I've been missing out on by just having vegan sushi? What other stuff would they do in Japan? The more authentic sort of stuff.
Yeah, the Japanese food that we were sort of having, there's always a lot of tofu, lot of soy, which is incredible. Miso soup, pickled vegetables is huge over there. So you'd always have meals where you'll kind of have a side of miso soup, pickled vegetables. Your main course would usually be some sort of tofu or soy. My favorite thing while I was out there were these things called soy chunks. So as quite literally it sounds like, they're chunks of soy, usually poached in some beautiful sort of flavorings, maybe served on a bed of rice, what have you. But I had this soy chunks in several different eateries and they're just incredible. So that was great. We also did a Michelin star restaurant when we were out there. So that was French cuisine combined with Japanese cuisine. It was called Pierre Gagner. If you are looking for a Michelin star, I would highly recommend it. It's probably my favorite Michelin meal I've ever had. They do obviously a vegan one. You just have to let them know you're coming in advance, but incredible.
Wow.
Wow.
I love that. Thank you. You've got my taste buds tingling now.
If Japan was close enough, honestly, I would go all the time. It's such a shame it is so far.
Yeah, it's a that's a long trip, that isn't it?
Yeah, but it's just, again, it also shows that traveling and being vegan is really not a problem. When we were out there, all the cities was no issue whatsoever. We only struggled in one place, which was by Mount Fuji, but yeah, aside from that, it was very easy to eat and have incredible food.
Fantastic.
Love that. Brilliant.
So, we started this question about 18 months ago now off the back of Claire Mann's term, Vistopia, about vegans living in a carnist world and the crap feeling that comes with that. So we now ask, do you have any hope for the future?
Talking purely just in terms of vegan, for sure. I think, you know, every year, even after Veganuary, I'd always see this influx of new people that have been introduced to what vegan is about. They'll get so excited. It's really nice to see people when they first go vegan because they're like little adorable little puppies, like, oh my God, everything's so cool. I've just discovered this and I'm doing this and I'm going to make this. And I'm just like, whoa, slow your roll. They come to the ARC and they're just like telling me all about veganism. And I'm like, oh wow, that sounds great. I've never heard this before. But like, so it is nice when people get on that train, they really get it. And then maybe they become hardened like us over the years when people just knock you down. But the point is, I think there's more potential for people to go vegan. And I think once they make that choice, you know, momentum kind of just slowly grows. I know we're such a tiny minority, but I do think we grow even more. I think the environmental thing is really pushing the whole vegan agenda. You'll always get people digging their heels in, but I think it does help because people connect what they're eating to, you know, climate change, what have you.
Yes. I see it a bit like eating animals. It's a bit like smoking, binge drinking. It's becoming less normal. And it's obviously way behind smoking. Like when I was a kid, everyone smoked. And now it's hardly anybody smokes. And, and you know, binge drinking. I heard something on the radio a couple of weeks ago that said that this generation of sort of 18 to 25 year olds are the ones most likely to completely abstain from drinking, not just not go out and get hammered like we used to when we were kids, Wes, all those years ago, but they don't even drink at all. And it's an incredible turnaround. I keep liking to think that it's not that long since I was young and used to go out drinking, but sadly it is a very long time. But it's I'm kind of hopeful that veganism, or at least not eating animals, and a plant-based diet might be just that little sort of few steps behind those sorts of things. That's what keeps me going.
Yeah, for sure. And that's a interesting point as well, because some people might not be eating animals, but not because they don't care about the animals so much. It might just purely be an environmental reasoning, which is fine.
But we'll take it.
And that's the point.
It still counts.
That is the point. You know, some people might be like, but ultimately less animals are being killed every day. So it all goes into, you know, it all helps.
And if people are eating a plant-based diet, then there's far, far less demand for animals to be killed for food, which also means that there's fewer animals being killed, and therefore getting things like leather for belts, shoes, sofas will become more expensive because it's rarer, because the leather's only available because all the cows are being killed for food. Do you know what I mean? They're not, they don't kill the cow for the leather and chuck the rest of it away. And likewise, they don't kill the cow for burger and chuck the skin away. They sell it on, don't they? So if there's fewer cows being killed, then that means there's less supply, which means it's more expensive, and then people will be able to go for the plant-based options of belts and shoes and stuff like that, because they'll be cheaper, or at least the same. So hopefully it'll work itself out. Hopefully.
Yeah. Let's hope there's a general election this year and we get some more progressive people in charge who really understand how urgent the climate crisis is and really do something about it. Because actually, you kind of just mentioned it briefly there, subsidies on meat and dairy really annoy me as a business owner, because my burgers cost 10 times what a beef burger would cost.
No.
Do you know what I mean? And someone questioned me about this during one of the lockdowns. We were doing takeaway burgers, and they're like, why are your takeaway burgers so expensive? And I'm like, I wish I could do them cheaper. It's just the actual burger itself is so expensive. We don't get that subsidy on our food. I wish people actually paid what the cost of raising a cow from birth to then being able to kill it, then killing it, butchering it, actually paid that price when they bought their products. They think it's expensive now. If they were actually paying what it cost, it would be way more than that.
Yeah, that's a brilliant point. It's not a level playing field, is it? It's so stacked against us from that point of view.
Exactly. Yeah. So there's so many things they could do which would really even it out, but unfortunately, dairy and meat, they have money and they good lobbyists.
Yes. And they've been doing it for years, haven't they? They've had a lot of practice.
100%. You see the adverts everywhere. You see, that's a really random thing. Why are they advertising dairy milk in like on Twitter or what have you? You know, it's appearing and you're seeing it a lot. I don't know if it's just me. I see it a lot more now. I think they're really having to push it a bit harder. But unfortunately, they have the funds, whereas vegan companies don't.
No.
Yeah.
That's it. We don't have the backers.
They're pushing it harder because they're panicking.
Yeah, 100%.
Because they know that there is a change happening. It might be very early. It might take another however many years, but change is happening and they're going, hang on a minute, we need to start marketing our arse off.
Mm.
Or just market non-death.
Non-death.
Exactly.
Do you think they have those, they have meetings and it's like that, is it that Mitchell and Webb sketch where they go, they're dressed as Nazis and they go, are we the bad guys?
Yeah, that's the only Mitchell and Webb sketch I know.
Yeah, me too.
It's the only one I've ever seen. I've never watched any more with Mitchell and Webb, but I saw that episode and I always remember it. And people, it's the one that people bring up. They never bring up another one.
No, it's dead popular, that one, isn't it? But there we
go. Funnily enough, one time during the cafe, I had a lady come in. We were having a lovely conversation for over an hour. She was telling me about how her business is going a bit downhill. She was wondering whether she should sell up or you know call it a day or whatever. It's funny how deep you can go in a conversation with someone in a cafe, but you can really. And then at the end, just out of curiosity, I said to her, what is it that you do? She was like, oh, I'm a dairy farmer. And I was like, oh my God, my mind.
Did you push her in?
I was like, I've just spent an hour talking to this lady. I had no idea she was she owned a dairy farm. She's sitting in a vegan cafe, which is wild anyway.
So you pushed her in off the top deck?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
She's in the river right now.
Wow. Amazing. That
it's
she
exclusive.
Even...
It's a podcast exclusive.
I'm a murderer. No.
That's amazing.
No,
that
she was a lovely lady, but it was just funny and interesting to hear it from that side, not knowing what she was talking about really until the end, when I can kind of put more of the pieces together, knowing now what the industry was.
Wow.
Mm.
That's amazing. So did she make any comment on the fact that you were a vegan, you were in a vegan cafe and she was a dairy farmer?
Not at all. No, it didn't come up. That's why the fact that she was a dairy farmer didn't even come up till the very end. I was just very curious. Okay. We were talking about other things to begin with. And then that kind of just ventured into what she did. And then, just had to ask before she left.
Wow. Amazing. That's incredible that you would get a customer like that and have that conversation, because sometimes people just go in and drink their coffee and go. But brilliant.
Yeah. She was lovely. She really was. And that's the wild part. She was a lovely lady. Why were you in this industry? Why are you doing this? But
yeah,
I think she was getting out. I think she'd had enough anyway.
You weren't going to turn her...
Well, she enjoyed her vegan coffee, so there was no issue from me.
You never know.
Hopefully that was the turning point.
So what have I been doing all these years? Raping and murdering all these cows, and I could have just been having oat milk.
It's so simple. So yeah. simple.
Such a simple change to make.
It really is. I think that's one of the easiest ones that people do is the milks. I find with the cafe, a lot of people might not give up the meat and dairy, but they say, Hema, I love the coffee I had at your place. I've got oat milk at home now. And I think, oh, perfect. That is a Fantastic. Win for me. I've heard yeah. that a lot.
That's brilliant. And it's, yeah, I work with quite a few people who will have like oat milk in their coffee, but they will, but they also eat meal, eat meat. Sorry, they eat animals. But
yeah.
But yeah, oat milk is, I think probably more than half
yeah.
of my team mm-hmm. will have oat milk over cow milk, which is,
yeah.
I find it incredible, really. But yeah. yeah, things are moving in the right direction, just slowly.
Yeah. I was watching it. I can't remember what I was watching the other day. Came upon something about, it was a climate thing, a climate crisis thing. And the lady, the expert on there was saying about how about she has hope for the future because we're now living in a world where there's so much information out there. We all know what needs to happen.
Yes.
All the people that matter know what needs to happen.
Yeah.
200 years ago, they didn't get that. They didn't understand. We do understand now. It's just getting people to get on board with it. And that's a mission on its own. But the fact that we have the knowledge and we have the research is a massive, massive step.
Yeah.
And it gave me a glimmer of hope for a minute. And then I spoke to some people at work and they shot me down again. So oh. I was like, yeah, rough with the smooth.
Yeah. Well, we have the information and the research, but we also have the means to share it by doing things like this yeah. and by, you know, the series you mentioned there on Netflix, Emma, you know, I've seen loads of people talking about that, people who aren't vegan and aren't interested in or weren't interested in being vegan. And all of a sudden yeah. they've watched it and they're like, blimey, never yeah. thought of it yeah. like that. And, you know, it's just need those little things to get the information out there. And all of a sudden, because that one really is, it is a lot about the way animals are treated, especially in the US. How badly they're treated in factory farms, especially cows and chickens. And it doesn't actually show you how they go from being in a soulless feedlot to being in a burger. It doesn't give you the execution bit, but it does give you a lot of information. But it's really more about health, that one, I think, isn't it? A bit like Game Changers. It's more about the health benefits yeah. of I kept calling it a vegan diet and it bothered me because it's really it's a plant-based diet. They weren't yeah. making them give up leather and, you know, silk or anything like that, were they? They were just saying, right, don't eat meat or dairy. And that was it. So it was but the health benefits of a plant-based diet over a carnist one. But yeah.
I wasn't expecting that documentary to go that far into that side of the animal agriculture industry. I think I was a bit blindsided by that, to be honest. I always go into these things a bit skeptical, wondering, are they going to bash the vegan diet? Are they going to yeah. come out with these meat funded studies and what have you, and just pretend like, you know, you're going to be deficient in XYZ. But actually I was pleasantly surprised. I found it was quite fair with the twins and what have you. But I was surprised at how much they did talk about the other things, like the pigs and what have you, you know, the water and the damage it does.
Oh, I'm yeah.
how bad animal agriculture is for the environment. It's horrendous if you look into it. But I was happy they actually did highlight that.
Mm. Yes. Yeah, they could have just said, well, you're not going to eat meat, fish or dairy, and that's it. But
yeah,
it was good to get into it. And the salmon farms in Scotland that they went to, good grief.
Oh, they were grim.
Absolutely
yeah.
horrendous. It
was, really grim.
Really gruesome. Yeah.
Don't they recommend show that in Spirity, don't they?
Yes.
They show that in Spirity as well. Yes. That's foul.
Yeah.
It's just disgraceful.
Yeah. All the lice and the. Anyway, let's not end on a downer. All right, Hema, thanks so much for joining us. We really do appreciate it. It's been great to talk to you and great to hear about the ARC. And as I said at the start, highly recommended for anyone who's in the Northampton area, or even if you're not in the Northampton area, Just make a trip. Have
Make a trip.
Make a trip, yeah. Have you noticed much more business on Saturdays with the new park run that started at the university?
Yeah, that's been really nice. Yeah, it's very up and down, but we do have a lot of runners coming through. And again, not all vegan, which we do love. So we're really happy to see the vegan runners when you guys come in. But we also have a lot of non-vegans coming through, a lot of scared faces when they hear there's no normal milk. But again, I'm convincing I'm doing black Americanos or I'm doing actual coffees and hoping they do like them. So far, so good. So yes.
Fantastic. Okay. Well, that's
looking forward to getting there next time I come down. Matthew's going to buy me a coffee. Yay.
I don't remember saying that bit. I remember saying let's go for coffee. I don't remember saying I'd pay for it. But that's brilliant. So you're closed for January. So then back open, start a fair visit?
End of January, we're opening so 27th of January, which is a Saturday, and then we're back to our regular opening hours.
Fantastic. Okay. All right. Cool. Well, we're looking forward to it already. So enjoy your rest period, and we'll look forward to seeing the Arc back open at the end of the month.
No problem. Thanks for having me, and congratulations on your 50 episodes.
Oh, thank you so much. You're too kind.
Thank you very much. That was really good. I enjoyed that.
Great guest. It's nice having business owners on, because we spoke with Greg in the previous episode about his belt fashion company. But we haven't really had many sort of vegan cafe owners on, vegan entrepreneurs, I guess you'd say, wouldn't you?
Yeah. I think that the conversation we had about what customers are like.
Yes.
I hadn't even really considered it, but no. Blew me away a little bit. We've been to vegan restaurants ourselves, and we go in as a fan.
Yeah, yeah. But we already like it.
People that are coming in just because they've gone out for a meal.
Yeah.
And then you know, sort of they're in a vegan restaurant, and then they go, "Well, you're not going to turn me. I'm not trying to. I'm trying to sell you food."
Yeah, that's it.
I'm trying to fill your belly. I'm not doing anything else. So there's no ulterior motive. However, if you wish to take that ulterior motive, you crack on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
that's it.
They're not there to force them.
No, that's great. It. Like Hemmer said, if you want to talk about it and you're interested in it, let's have a conversation. Yeah. But if you're not, then just eat something, drink a cup of tea or coffee, and you know, be on your way. No bother.
Yeah,
that's it.
No, I think it's fascinating.
Mm. Yeah, and it's a lovely venue. And if you go on a summer's day, or a sunny day, even, you can just sit out on the top deck. And actually, that was where we sat for the Saving Nemo tartar sauce launch. It was a summer's evening, and we just sat out there, had a few drinks. Lovely.
Yeah. I didn't realise that's where your Saving Nemo thing was.
Yes.
I thought it was in Cambridge or something. I didn't realize.
Oh,
it was...
wow. Nope.
Yeah.
Just on the road.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fantastic. So there we go.
Yeah.
Episode 50 in the can, as they say in the trade. And hope you've enjoyed it. And if you have, let us know. And if you haven't, piss off. No. Why not listen to the other 49 and see if you like them instead?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Just binge them all.
Oh, bless the people that listen. I feel for them. I really do.
I feel for them. We're not supposed to pity our listeners. We're just really grateful. We are.
Yeah, generally grateful.
Because I tell you what, if we didn't have any listeners, we would have jacked it in long ago. Because it would have been really, really pointless. So we are grateful. Yeah. When we get feedback from people, it's fantastic.
I think I wondered that when we first started. I thought, will we carry on even if people don't listen? And I was like, yeah, because we're just having a chat. It's fine. But actually making the effort to get people to come on would have been a bit mental, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that would be weird. If it was just me and you talking to each other and nobody listened, that's all right. But if we were saying to like Jordan from Vegan Campout, come on our podcast, and like there were three listeners or no listeners, you'd be like, that's just embarrassing. Talking of Jordan from Vegan Campout, have you seen his post from this evening on Instagram? Next nope. to Ricky Gervais.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that would be a hell of a camp out set, wouldn't it?
It would, yeah.
Ricky Gervais at Vegan Camp Out. Oh my god.
Yeah.
But wow. Anyway, because anyway. I saw a screenshot of a tweet that he'd made, Ricky Gervais, saying that he was vegan.
Oh, really? He's gone, has he? Good man.
He has. So good there man. We go. On that bombshell. Let's call it a day. So, 50 episodes. Thanks so much, everyone, for listening.
Thank you.
Here's to the next 50.